setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
I am coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how you can get there. This is a show about you and your work and your purpose. All three of those are the same subject. You were created to work. You were created to contribute, if you want to say it that way. So we're not espousing being a workaholic and having no life and money being your driver. No. We're talking about meaning, meaningful work, seeing a contribution take place that means something deeply to you. This is what we all long for. And so we're taking on the worldview that work is a utilitarian function that just allows you to make money so you can figure out a way to live the best way possible. We look at work as a calling, a sacred contribution that you have a duty to make. You were created to fill a unique role. You were needed. You must do it. So let's get after that conversation. 844-747-2577. Some of you know what you want to do, don't know how to get there. Some of you don't know what you want to do. Some of you know what you want to do, you know how to get there, but you're just terrified to start. Does not matter what your situation is. I'm telling you, there's an answer. There is a clear path. Seven stages. Think of it as climbing up a mountain, your professional pinnacle. Get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job, give yourself away. That's the seven-stage process that will allow you to work with tremendous meaning. So let's help you do that. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Coming up next segment, I got breaking news to report. And I don't do breaking news. But this is a significant announcement for you folks who are looking to see this economy fully get heated back up, see that unemployment continue to drop, see the, let's call it the...
Hospitality?
Thank you. Hospitality, thank you. Goodness gracious. Because it's an official term, the hospitality industry. I think you're going to see the travel, the leisure hospitality industry really take off, right? Obviously, we're talking about bars, restaurants, the airline industry, food and services, all this kind of stuff as it relates to, you know, people getting out and traveling again. And so anyway, sorry, everybody. I got hung up. It's the allergy meds. You know, you should only take so much of those in 24 hours. But nonetheless, Joe, I'm serious. I've got some breaking news on this.
We need it.
I think you're going to be very surprised by this. And if in fact this news, a direct quote from a leader who can make change on this, if this comes true, the dominoes are going to move quickly, folks. Much quicker than my brain 2 minutes ago. All right. Boy, I've scared you, Joe. I apologize. I was just trying to come up with the word. Thank you. Hospitality. All right, here we go. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Kayla is there. Kayla, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing great, Kayla. How are you today?
I'm doing all right.
All right. How can I help?
Well, my question really is, I guess, I'm looking for some guidance. I started working in banking as soon as I got out of college, and that's kind of where I got stuck, I guess we'll call it.
Uh-huh.
I recently quit my job in the middle of pandemic. I guess probably wasn't a great choice, but I did it anyway. So now I'm at this point where I'm not sure where I'm going from here because I don't want to just jump into something and get stuck again.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure the next thing I do is beneficial to both me and wherever I'm working.
Okay. So what are your ideas? You've clearly been thinking about this.
I have. Well, the one idea that I would really like to own my own business, but
great.
Seems a little far off, and I just
okay.
I don't
well,
know that that's a reality right away, so I need to get there somehow. I guess
that's okay. It's not a reality right away, so your head's in the right place, and it may be a ways off. But it doesn't matter. We still got to say, okay, if that's the destination, that's where we really want to go, let's figure out what the path looks like to get there. So let's dream a little bit. What would be that business? Let's just describe that business. If you could snap your fingers today and you knew it wouldn't fail, what would that business be? What would you try?
I've always just really wanted to open a bakery / coffee shop type business just right in my small town area.
Great. Great. Do you know anybody that runs one of those in your small town?
Not off the top of my head, no.
I don't know them.
Yeah.
That's homework assignment number one, is for you to get to know them. Yeah, it may take 2-3 weeks to make initial contact. I don't know. You know, a small town, maybe you can make it quicker. You know, I would assume that you have some mutual connections with everybody that's running something like that, correct?
I would think so. Yeah, it's not a big enough area not to.
Yeah, right. So here's my point. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to build a relationship to the point where you can at some point sit down with them and pick their brain. It's almost like doing a college research paper on what does it take to successfully operate. Like, what do you pay your, what's your rent? You know, what are your upfront costs? If someone's going to start this, what kind of money do you think they would need? You really want to learn everything you can about it. And my other question is, could you work part-time for somebody like that? Do you have that kind of time balance in your life to be able to do that?
I don't see why not, yeah.
Yeah, because here's what I'd love. I'd love for you to meet them and then go to work for them part-time and learn the business while you're getting paid by them. Okay. And so now we go, wait a second. I don't need a dream job. I know what the dream job is. I need a day job, or I need to stay in my day job, and I need to keep working and working and working. And I need to go, okay, I'm going to have this much saved up for me to be able to rent for 6 months. I need this much cash for materials or machines or whatever you need to do. If it was the coffee shop, here's my point. Figure out what it would actually take to do it and then start going that direction, saving, working, getting experience, learning while you're saving, and eventually going to get there. Day job it until you can dream job it. It's what I did, and you can do it too. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey parents, if you've got a kid that's considering a career in technology, you've got to check out my friends at Bethel Tech. They can get there without breaking the bank. Bethel Tech has an online training program that teaches the latest in-demand tech skills for a fraction of the price of traditional college. And they've got an 85% placement rate. I've got the offer for you. Go to Bethel Tech to get $1,000 to $2,500 off of tuition. Again, that's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. That's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. Welcome back, America. You're listening to the Ken Coleman Show, coming to you from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, part of the Ramsey Solutions Network. We are talking about work that matters, meaningful work. We're talking about living and working on purpose, doing work you love, because life is way too short to live for the weekend. All right, now, I got breaking news, and I don't normally do breaking news. I really don't. But, you know, we are a different kind of talk radio show, and is thus, you know, we kind of stay out of the political fray. We stay completely out of it. But I've got a significant tweet to report, Joe. And this is going to be very relevant to you folks, so don't get nervous. I'm not changing gears all of a sudden. But this is significant. Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York, you got the two most aggressive states in the country as it relates to lockdowns, California, New York, depending on, you know, your opinion, which one of those up there. But it'd be very, very strict. Tweeted an hour ago, and this is a direct quote, folks. He said, "We simply cannot stay closed until the vaccine hits critical mass. The cost is too high. We will have nothing left to open. We must reopen the economy, but we must do it smartly and safely. Now, that is a significant tweet. I know that for some of you, your eyes are rolling hard, your blood pressure is going up. I don't care. I'm not here to get into this statement. I'm simply saying that this is good news if the chorus of other Democratic leaders who have been continuing the lockdown, kids not in schools, which is its own public health crisis. Here's the deal. That's a significant statement is all I'm saying to me. And again, I understand how some of you are going to have different opinions on that. I'm simply judging it on its merit of if he starts to open up the New York economy and other governors will follow suit, this is good news for all of us. It's good news for all of us. And it's time. And wow, fairly significant. And so I wanted to report that to you. Again, I'm the guy who cares about jobs and people being able to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so this is great. We need to thaw this nation's economy out. It'll go a long way to helping, I think, relieve tensions in other areas. And in the mental health improvement as well. So let's hope we see this start to happen more and more. Obviously, you know, these governors want to be safe. I get it. I don't think anybody wants to be mean, but that's significant. Very significant. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Bree in Miami, Florida. Bree, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for answering my call. How are you?
I am living the dream, Bree. What's going on?
Oh, my God. It's a lot going on. So I'm 21 years old. This year, I was supposed to graduate college with my bachelor's, but I switched my major so much, it's not going to happen.
Okay.
I'm stuck between two career fields. I love medicine and I love law. But I was a pre-med, and I don't like science at all. Oh, my God. It's just so frustrating.
Yeah.
So I don't like science, but I like the other social science classes, like humanities and psychology. I always ate those classes.
Okay.
Like, I always did great in those classes.
Okay.
I love writing. I love reading. And doing a lot of research, but I don't know. Okay. I was looking into MD, JD program, but I can't do medicine and law at the same time. Even if I go for the MD, JD program, I would have to focus on medicine or law. I cannot do both. That's why every school I call and ask questions, that's what they said.
Okay, hold on one second. So we got a lot going on here.
Okay.
And I understand it. No. It's okay. It's great. I'm glad you called. I just think you've got too many thoughts swirling around in your head. And what we've got to do is we've got to slow it all down and go, all right, let's just get to the core of what's going on. Cause you said, I love medicine and I love the law. I don't like science, but I love research and writing and I loved all my social sciences class. And I love the psychology. I mean, all these things. Here's the deal. Yeah. I want you to strip all of that away.
Okay.
And right now, what is it that you would love to try? Forget the education. Forget the school you got to get into. Forget all of that. I just would fast forward life for you. And you are trying this thing as a fun work adventure. No pressure.
Okay.
What would you do?
I would be in a courtroom.
What would you be doing? I love this. Let's keep dreaming. Be specific. What would you be doing in the courtroom?
I would be a litigator, like those lawyers who just go and argue cases.
Okay.
And just win stuff.
What would you be litigating? Give me a case. Give me a dream case. What would you be doing? Would you be the plaintiff, the defense lawyer? What would you be doing? Tell me.
Actually, I think like the criminals, like I would be sending people to jail.
Okay, so you would be a prosecuting attorney.
Yeah.
Sending the bad guys to jail.
Exactly. But I also would like to be on the other side, like a different lawyer. Like if someone accusing someone of something that they clearly did not do, so I would be able to represent those people.
Well, you can't, but that's a defense lawyer.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah,
but that's not a big deal. You're acting like that's such a huge decision. You just got to spend more time kind of paying attention to those kind of cases, and one of those will lead to the other. Or maybe you do both. Maybe you start out as a prosecuting attorney, and then you go out on your own in private practice and become a defense lawyer. I mean, you get to decide, but the bottom line is you want to be a lawyer who is involved in justice.
Exactly, yes.
All right, so why are you so confused about what to do?
I don't know. Okay, because, like, I don't want to just choose that and then don't go for medicine, and then down the road I'm like, okay, I should have go for that.
Like, well, wait a second. You told me multiple times you've mentioned you don't want to do medicine, that you don't like the science part. So what's the...
I don't like the science classes, but...
Right, but what's the part? Okay, what would you do in... what would you do in medicine? Let's say we gave you another alternative. And we said, okay, yeah, you get to do whatever you want in medicine. What would you be doing? Give me the same dream.
I would be a heart surgeon.
A heart surgeon?
I love surgery.
Yeah, but
yes,
listen.
I love surgery.
But Bree, sweetheart, you can't become a heart surgeon if you don't take the science classes.
I know.
Are you good at the science classes?
No, I'm not.
You can't be a... Well, sweetheart, listen. Let me make this more personal to me, because I really want to encourage your heart. I don't want to discourage you.
Okay.
It would be like me calling you up and telling you that I wanted to be a rocket scientist, but I can't stand math and science classes. And then you said to me, well, Ken, I understand you may not like parts of the classes, but you got to do it, right? And I'd say, well, yeah, but I don't even like it. I'm not even good at it. Problem is, I'm terrible at it. I fail all my math and science classes. What would you say to me?
Try harder.
No.
Study harder.
No, that's not what you would say. You would not say try harder. You would say you're pursuing something you should not pursue. You're not good at the math and science, and you don't like it. There's your answer. You just told me the reason you're not pursuing law is because you're worried that you might regret not pursuing medicine. How do I know, Ken? Here's how you know. Bree, if you suck at something and you don't like to do it, you shouldn't do it. It's okay to admit that you're awful at something and that you're miserable when you do it. Ding, ding, ding. Tell her what she's won. Another career in law. Go, Bree. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Folks, I like to stay in the know and support great companies doing great things. Have you heard of Burst? It's the sonic toothbrush everybody's talking about. Burst is loved by influencers and celebrities, not to mention hundreds of thousands of happy customers and me. See for yourself what everyone is talking about. Burst is the smart choice, and it's affordable. Visit burstoralcare.com and use code KEN to grab a Burst brush for as low as $49.99. That's burstoralcare.com. That's burstoralcare.com. The Ken Coleman Show is continuing live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577, helping men and women get clear so that they can get qualified, helping them get connected so they can get started, helping them get promoted so they can get the dream job, to give themselves away. What fun work this is. Oh, I could feel it in the air, folks. I could feel it in the air. No, that's not the allergy that's causing me to be a little stuffy. I get it. I know what you're thinking. Joe, I can feel opportunity. I see rebound. I'm just believing it, folks. I'm just going to believe it. And if you think I'm crazy, well, you know, it's fine. My content is still straight up good. It works. But I'm just believing. I'm believing. Now we're going to see this economy open up in 2021. I think many of you will make more progress than you've ever made before. That's right. Even in the midst of transition, uncertainty, and all the things. Keep your head in the game. Stay positive. Speak that into other people. You have a ton of influence on yourself and others. Keep your head and heart about you. And let's unite around one thing that all of us can get on the same page on, and that is that we all long to make a difference. So let's get behind that. Who we're for, what we're for, and making a great contribution. Kyle is up in Aiden, North Carolina. Kyle, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help?
So I was promised a position at my current company, but when I try to follow up with them, they just kind of give me the runaround or ignore me.
Uh-oh. How many times has this happened?
I've reached out a few times, and they've just straight out ignored me. Last month, I reached out again, and they got back with me and said, don't worry, we'll schedule a meeting. And then that's the last I've heard from them. They didn't give me any time frame or anything.
When was it promised to you? When was the position promised?
The position was promised when I was hired on.
How long ago?
Six months ago.
Hmm. And did they give you any details when they hired you, you know, as to when this would happen?
They thought it would happen anywhere from 3 to 6 months. But I made sure to get it in writing that it was, you know, promised at least, that I'd move into the position after a year at most. But I've been trying to get like any details about the job, what it might entail,
who are you trying to get this from? Is this your direct report? Or HR, who are you trying to get this information from?
From the director that promised me the position.
And is that your direct report now?
No, that's not my direct report right now.
Yeah, I think there's a big problem here. I think you've seen the handwriting on the wall. I certainly see it. So I don't know what else you can do on this. The fact that they ignored you, that this director ignored you for a while, and then finally you didn't stop. And they said, well, don't worry about it. We'll get to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think that position is coming, brother. And so I think you have to then say, what does this mean for me? I think, you know,
right.
And I think I'd be trying to earn it. I think there's two things you could do. One, you start looking somewhere mm-hmm. else because you go, this isn't right. Something's not right with the way they're handling this. I mean, even if you had done something to then make them lose confidence in you, they should at least tell you that. Right? If they go, you know what? Yeah. We told you this, but now after watching you do your thing or whatever their reason is, we've changed our mind. They reserve the right to change their mind. I'm fine with that, but you should always communicate.
Yeah.
But they're not communicating. And that means to me,
mm-mm.
you're not the guy. And they're just trying to help you see it with as little bit of confrontation as possible. Whoever this director is a weakling. And they don't want to confront you. So they're just kicking the can down the road, hoping you'll eventually see the handwriting on the wall. So I'm helping you see it. So you have one option. Excuse me, two options. One is you say, all right, I'm going to prove to them. I'm not going to bug them anymore. I'm going to prove it with my performance and show them that I'm worthy of it. And then I'll go to mm-hmm. HR when my year is up and say, hey, I've got this in writing, and you could choose to fight it that way. Or you could go, you know what?
Right.
I don't like the way this has gone down. I feel like they went back on their word. They're not good leaders. Mm-hmm. They're weak. I'm going to start looking for something else, and when I find something else, I'm out. But I think those are your options. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Cincinnati, Ohio, where Heather is on the line. Heather, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
So I'm trying to decide if I should follow my passion, if it's aligned with my skills and my talents, if I should go for it based on the risk that it might be.
Okay, tell me what it is. What is this dream, this passion?
My dream is to work with animals, mainly dogs.
How? How do you work with them? As a vet assistant?
Well, I'd like to just take care of them somehow. So there's many things I could do, like a veterinarian, dog grooming, dog training, anything like that.
Okay. Are you gifted with animals?
I am.
Okay. Are you gifted with, let me ask you this. What would be the other talents that you think are necessary to have as we start looking at your sweet spot? What talents would you need to have beyond having a natural knack with animals?
I would think that you need to be compassionate.
Are you?
Yes.
Yeah. You have high empathy?
I do with animals.
Yeah, you got that. So what's the big risk?
My main problem is that I know that these careers don't pay enough. Except for, like, the veterinarian would pay enough, but I'd have to go to school for 8 years, and I'm already kind of at that age where I don't want to go back to school.
How much is enough?
Enough would be, to be honest, I'd like to make what I make now because I don't want to take a step back.
Which is what?
So I'd say $90,000.
Okay, so how would we make $90,000 taking care of animals? Well, we're going to cross off veterinary because that's too long and too expensive in and of itself.
Right.
So training dogs, training lots of dogs, having a dog training business could get you to $90,000. Eventually. Have to be a good one, but you could do it, right? The other way to do it is some type of training / boarding facility. Eventually, you could make really good money doing that. Boarding dogs and loving on dogs, and when their owners are gone, you know, I know how much my wife and I pay for our doodles and we got to go. Trust me, you can make $90,000 in that side of the business. So we would call that the taking care of dogs side of the business, not the medicine. But between breeding and training, you could eventually make really good money. So I would tell you that you can do that, but is it a 5 to 7 year play? 10-year play to make 90? Maybe less. But if you've got a good day job, which you do, making really good money, which you do, and you go, okay, how would I step into this? Well, maybe I'm going to start with a training business on the side. How many dogs could I train in a given month? What's the going rate for dog training in my neck of the woods? You just start to get a pen and paper, pencil and paper is my preference, pencil, and start playing this out and going, okay, how much money could I make in a month and in a year? And once you do that, Heather, what you're going to see is there is a path, but it's going to be side hustle. And you can do it on the side, and you save every nickel. You put it right back into the business and eventually get to the point where you can walk into it full time. Make sense?
Yes, but I have another question, too.
Okay. Well, we got about 20 seconds, so ask it quick.
Okay. My day job is something I don't want to continue to do.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. In the sense of what I just told you, the plan. So what you need to do is replace your day job. You're going to have a day job, Heather, to fund the dream job. So replace it, but you got to have something. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to Nashville and Ramsey Solutions Studios, coming to you from Ramsey Solutions Worldwide Headquarters. This is the Ken Coleman Show, a different kind of talk radio show. We're talking purpose, not politics, helping you get unstuck, helping you get clear so that you can confidently step forward and courageously stay on the path to fulfilling your purpose. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Great Falls, Montana. Matt is on the line there. Matt, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
The pleasure's all mine. What's going on?
Well, Ken, a couple of years ago, through listening to your program, I actually discovered that I was in my sweet spot.
Awesome.
And I had an accident last year, and that sweet spot is no longer possible.
Is that because of physical challenges?
Yeah. I'm basically qualified for sedentary work.
Ugh. What was the role?
I was an appliance technician.
Refrigerators, that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. And what are you limited to now? When you say sedentary, can you be more specific?
Well, I'm qualified to sit at a desk, not stand at a desk.
These are doctor's orders?
Yes.
Okay. And Matt, you got to help me out here, bud. I feel like I'm digging okay. really hard. So let me ask a series of questions so you understand why I'm asking these things.
Okay.
All right. When you were fixing appliances, were these on location in people's homes? You're going to fix their microwave, their refrigerator, their stove?
Yes.
Okay. So you can you still use your hands? Because you used your hands and your brain to fix those things. True or false?
True.
Can you still use your hands?
To some extent.
Okay. What does that mean?
My injuries are internal, heart and lung.
Okay.
And so I can do desk work, and that's about it. Like, I could type on a keyboard.
So you can't sit at a work desk and work on an engine or a machine of some type?
No.
So no physical exertion at all? Like, turning a hand crank would cause too much stress on the body?
Yeah. I mean, I could do it a couple times a day, but I couldn't do it repeatedly.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just had to dig. You understand what I'm saying, Matt? I mean,
yeah,
I got to know what I'm dealing with here. Well, so what did you enjoy most about fixing these appliances?
I've actually taken a personality test, and my greatest personality traits are craftsmanship, service, and leadership. So I love fixing things. I loved helping people.
Yeah. All right, good. Here's where I'm going with this. All right. And you're going to have to, and I understand you're really down, and I get it. I mean, I understand why this would be so discouraging. But you still can use your brain. And the fact that you said you love serving people, I wonder if you're not in a situation where you go to work for a company, or maybe the same company you were with, but where there's a lot of people that troubleshoot as a customer service rep who actually have the knowledge. So, for instance, we see this a lot in technology. So if you call Apple or some other technology company or TV company, they've got people that are basically technicians that are so familiar with the machine or the software or you name it, that they can many times help somebody solve problems over the phone while sitting at a desk. While you're not going to be using your hands there, it is largely the same function, and I think could give you the juice. So I would be looking towards working for appliance companies where you solve, as an actual field technician who could fix it, the mental capacity is still there. And as it relates to maybe even a desk position where you are leading a team of technicians, because you know what it takes to fix it, but you don't ever have to raise another screwdriver, a hammer, or a pair of pliers, or whatever. But I don't think any of this qualifies you from leading. So I think the customer service technician and then leading a team of technicians, I think that's very much viable for you. And that's what I would be going for if I were you. Because those things do involve, yes, sitting at a desk. But when you realize, wait a second, I'm leading a team, I'm problem solving from my own experience, and or serving the customer directly with my mind, Matt, that's what I would do, and that's just a slight variation, but I think it's still in your sweet spot. Go for it, man. You got a lot to give still. Praying for you. This is the Ken Coleman Show. helping you get unstuck and then get on purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show, coming to you from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. So thrilled you are with us. This is conversation that is needed more than ever. You don't need to look to Washington, D.C. or your state capital for your future. You look inward. What were you created to do? You figure that out by looking at what you do best, your talent, the work you love to do, that's passion, and the results that make your heart sing, that's mission. And you put all three together, and it points an arrow right to your contribution zone. I call it the sweet spot, where you use what you do best to do work you love to produce results that matter. 844-747-2577 is the number. A couple of things. We've got a great free 7-day career checkup challenge that is taking place in our official Ken Coleman community on Facebook. Just search the official Ken Coleman community on Facebook and join. And Wednesday, January 13th, begins the free 7-day career checkup challenge. Think of it as an inventory of your career and working on purpose. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged, because we're going to walk you through the process. A couple other things. We got our Get Hired digital course, still $20 at kencoleman.com. 11 video lessons taught by me. So whether you're looking for a day job just to kind of recover from COVID, or you're looking at how to move up the ladder, get promoted, get the dream job, 11 video lessons. All you need is a computer, tablet, or phone, and you have unlimited replays. It's only $20. It's called Get Hired. You can get it at the store on kencoleman.com today. So do check that out. All right, let's go to San Bernardino, California, where Stacy joins us. Stacy, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for your time. I'm currently 25, and I've been at my job for 3 years, and I already know that I don't want to be there long term. I'm actually hoping to leave it as soon as possible. It's not a job I hate, but at the same time, I just don't feel fulfilled by it. I feel like I don't have a purpose there. But my question is that I don't know what I want to do yet. So I was wondering if taking some classes at a college would be a way to find out what my passion is.
No, that is not a way to do it. But you calling me is the way to do it. So I'm going to take a shot at this, because I think you have the answers. We have to uncover them. So when I define passion, you know this, it's work you love to do. So I think you've thought about different types of work. I think you've wondered about it. So let's just pull what's top of mind or top of heart. If you were going to try something tomorrow, what would you try? If you knew you couldn't fail, if I just gave you this, okay, we're going to pay you well, Stacy, can't fail, but it's just for fun. You don't have to commit 30 years of your life to it. Let's go try something. What would that be?
Currently, right now, I think it would be going into computers, like software development.
Why? Why software development?
Because I like numbers, and I just feel like I have like attention to details, and I just feel like it's kind of the type of work that I would like find purpose in.
Yeah, especially if you were developing a software that did something that you care deeply about, correct?
Yeah.
Just for fun, what would that be? Just for fun. Don't get hung up on this one. But let's say you were creating software. What? Who would you want it to? If you don't know what you would want it to do, that's okay. But who would you want it to help?
Maybe even like a financial software, or like a software app or something.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, maybe for payroll or something.
Yeah. Great. So that helps a small businessman or woman. It saves them time, saves them money, saves them heartache, headaches, the whole nine yards. And you have a creative element. You have a creative side to you as well, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
See where that numbers, so where does that math and creative side come together? Software creation and development, software design development. I mean, that's all a creative function, even though you're not looking at the way it looks. You're trying to deal with how it functions. So what's holding you back from becoming a software developer?
Well, because in the past, I think it's because I was doing it wrong, because I have a bachelor's degree in sociology, but my current job doesn't require it. But I wanted to go back to school to go into counseling. I tried doing that for a semester and to get like my master's in counseling, and I just quit like right off the bat. But I think it was because I was trying to pursue something I had no passion for.
That's exactly what it is.
I was afraid of like trying to get qualified.
Yeah, but here's the deal.
Not finding passion.
But what? But wait a second. Have you spent any time talking to successful software developers or app developers?
No.
That's what you've got to do. Homework assignment number one. That's the proximity principle. The proximity principle came out of this show. I ended up writing a book about it. Okay, I'm going to give you a copy of my book. You have got to start getting around, whether it's digitally or in person, software developers. So Zoom calls, phone calls, you know, getting online groups, webinars. You need to consume everything you can learn about being a software developer. And in doing so, you are doing what I call clarify and verify. The more you learn about what it takes to get qualified, the day-to-day functionality of it, your head and heart are going to align with all that information. When the brain gets all the information about what it looks like to get there, what the qualifications are needed, how long it'll take, the money, blah, 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 blah. And then your heart gets all that information. It's going to go ding, 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 or does that make sense to you, Stacy?
Yeah, it does.
But I think you know you want to do it. I think if push came to shove, you'd try it. You're only worried about,
yeah,
I don't want to try it and then find out I don't like it, which, again, I just gave you the answer. You have got to spend time learning everything there is to learn about it and go, if this was a day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if my day looked like this, would that make me fired up? Is it truly in my sweet spot? I know you've got the talent to do it. I think there's parts of the work you already know you would love. And I just think you got to put it all together and go, if I'm developing these type of apps or this type of software, I'd be fired up and feel like I was stealing money from people. I think that's all you've got to confirm. And the proximity principle will do that for you. And that's what you've got to do. Because once you figure that out, you go, I got it. Now, can I tell you, you have got, I'm going to, do you have my book, The Proximity Principle?
I have the audiobook.
Oh, good. Did you listen to it?
Yes, I did.
So you know what
I
to do.
I listened to it while I was at work, actually.
Yeah, you know what to do, don't you?
Yeah.
All right, listen. I also want you to call my friends at Bethel Tech. They're a partner on the show. Have you heard me talk about Bethel Tech?
Yes, I actually seen the episode a few weeks ago.
You need to call them. Call them up.
Yeah, say, I'm just scared of like going down that road and then like halfway realizing I wasted all this time.
Yeah, but my point is, you're not going to do that if you use the proximity principle and you call them. So number one, I want you to talk to other software developers and do everything I already told you to do. Then your head and heart are going to tell you, yep, that is something I want to do. Then you can call Bethel Tech and go, hey, as one of Ken's listeners, I understand I get a steep discount. It's going to be less than $15,000, Stacy. 9 months. They'll get you ready to be a software developer.
Yeah.
Now, this is only after you've confirmed that that's something you want to do. And I'm telling you what to do. And I think the answer is yes. Are you 80-20, 70-30, 60-40? What is it? Where are you at?
I think I'm about 70-30. 100%.
I think it's actually more than that. But I understand why you've got the 30. You're going, I just want to make sure. And I love that. But here's how you do it. Learn everything you can about what it's like to actually be a software developer, and please talk to somebody who is an active and successful software developer and go to school on them, like a college report. And when you get all those answers, you're going to know. And then call Bethel Tech, and they're going to do it for a fraction. They're going to get you placed, and you're going to call the show one day, and you're going to go, Ken, I did it. I'm developing software. That matters to me. All right, Stacy, you know what to do, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Right, go clarify and verify. Hang on the line. Let's make sure Madison, she gets all the information on Bethel Tech, BethelTech.net for the rest of you who want to take advantage of that offer. All right. My time is almost up, but before I let you go, I want you to know that you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.